Well, last week we started our series on prayer. Prayer is air. And we talked about how for a Christian, prayer is just like breathing, that thing that gives us life. It's what energizes us, helps us to live. And of all the stories that I shared last week, the one that people kept referring to this past week was the wise words that a spiritual advisor gave to me when I was struggling with prayer. And I just couldn't pray the way that people had been trying to teach me. And he said, pray as you can, not as you can't. Pray as you can, not as you can't. In other words, do what works. Because it's not dependent on you. Prayer is dependent on the one you are praying to. Prayer is dependent on the Lord. And that's very freeing when you realize that prayer is not magic. That our prayers aren't answered if we say them just the right way or if we just pray hard enough, because our prayers are answered out of the great love of God. And in any way that we connect with God is a blessing and is good. And, you know, that's such good news. But then you read further in Scripture and, well, it seems like it gets hard again. Like in today's Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5. Make sure no one repays a wrong with a wrong, but always pursue the good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't suppress the Spirit. Don't brush off the Spirit-inspired messages, but examine everything carefully and hang on to what is good. Avoid every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace himself cause you to be completely dedicated to him, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept intact and blameless at our Lord Jesus Christ's coming. The one who is calling you is faithful and will do this. Just when it sounded like things were simple, then we get all these hard things. Don't repay wrong for a wrong. Pursue good for everyone. Rejoice always. Give thanks in every situation. Avoid every kind of evil. That's hard to do. But perhaps the hardest of all is verse 17. Pray continually. How do we do that? It seems impossible. I mean, if we prayed continually, think of the accidents that we'd get in when we bowed our heads and closed our eyes as we went down the highway. What's it mean to pray continually? It seems like a burden once again. Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But first, I want to deliver some news. Congratulations, you're pregnant. And I mean all of you. You're pregnant. New life is on the way. And to help in this process of birthing this new life, well, I thought it'd be good for us to learn some breathing techniques. So watch the video.
So this breath is just a short, shallow one. So that's the kind of breath that you want to be doing. You might be thinking, and that sounds kind of like you're hyperventilating, but it's not. Hyperventilating is like you're taking two shallow but purposeful breaths in and two shallow but purposeful breaths out. So let's do it again.
Well, you might recognize that as one of the Lamaze breathing techniques. Did anyone ever go to a Lamaze class or be taught those breathing techniques for going through labor? There's a few people nodding out there. I think you had to be a certain age. I talked to one woman who said, you know, when we were coming through, they didn't tell you nothing. you just went and had the baby. And yeah, deal with it. and then there was a time when Lamaze was taught and these breathing techniques were taught as very rigid, like this is how you pray. You go, or else. And then even lamas began to change, and they kind of developed that pray as you can, not as you can't approach to breathing. It says on their website, there's no right way to breathe in labor, despite what others may tell you. It says, you'll figure out what works best for you, and what works best will probably change as you move through labor. So Lamaze is saying that what breathing technique works is what works for you. And that will change. And, you know, same way with prayer. Since we are all pregnant, since Christ is trying to birth something new within us and bring new life to us, we can all learn these different breathing techniques or different prayer techniques. But what's important is not that we all follow the same pattern or that one is just the magic way to do it and the others don't work. They may work for you, they may not work for you. But still, it's helpful for us to learn these different techniques for prayer. And so that's what we're going to look at today. I've kind of lumped them into four categories. I don't know why. I probably should have done three because it seems like that's what preachers do. I did give them all names that start with a B because preachers like to do that too. You know, make that alliteration. So here they are, these prayer techniques clump into these categories: the basics, the body, the Bible, and the breath. And again, they're not magic. It's not do these things and you will have that deep connection to God that you've always wanted. But they can help. So let's start with the basics. We think that everybody knows the basics. But really, that's not true. At its heart, the basics of prayer is communication with God. It's a connection with the Lord. And so really, it is as simple as breathing. But there are breathing techniques. There are prayer techniques. And so let's start with some of those basic ones. One of the basic prayer techniques is to choose a time, set aside a time when you're going to pray. You know, like so much in life, if we don't set aside a time to do it, it just never happens, right? We just never get around to it. And one of the most common times to say prayer is before a meal. I mean, we do that every Wednesday night when we have the meal here. Kim will get up and he'll say, all right, we're going to pray now. And we have a prayer before a meal. And in many families, this is just a part of praying continually. They continually pray at every meal, meal after meal. But some, that's not something that they know of. When I was in a previous church, I was there in the gym and they were all, a huge daycare was having lunch, and the church staff was also there. And as the church staff would do, we held hands, we bowed heads, and someone said a prayer before the meal. And I remember hearing this little girl at the table next to me, "Teacher, teacher, why is that man talking to his food?" But little things like prayers are just basic things that we say it at a meal. Or maybe you set aside another time. Maybe you always pray before you go to bed. Or maybe it's before you go to school. Or maybe it's on your way to work. Or perhaps as soon as you get up in the morning. I didn't always do this because when the kids were little, I never got up uninterrupted. But the past few years, I've made it a habit to pray before I even get out of bed. And you may have heard that famous prayer where a fellow is praying to God and he says, "Lord, I thank you for the way that you've helped me through this day, how you've kept me from temptation, and I haven't said any bad words to anybody. I haven't gotten in trouble. I haven't broken any commandments. But now I'm going to get out of bed, so I'm really going to need some help." So praying before we launch out into the day and making that a habit is a start to praying continually, and it's one of the basics. Another basic approach to prayer is to use a prayer model or prayer formula. Anybody hear of the ACTS model of praying, A-C-T-S? There's a hand. ACTS stands for adoration, that's giving praise, confession, asking for forgiveness, thanksgiving, which is what it is, and then supplication, the one that nobody can remember. So sometimes I call this the actor method of prayer, where A-C-T and then our request, O-R, because that's what it is. So using a basic pattern like this, we can help explore our prayer life. If you think back on everything you've prayed this last week, what categories do they fall into? Are they all in one category? Or do you have a well-rounded prayer life? All four of these things. And there's many other models that you can follow. But this is just a way, a basic way, to help us to take some breathing lessons, to help us to breathe better. So in addition to the basics, then there are some other things that we can add. And one of those is adding our whole selves, adding our body. In what we read from 1 Thessalonians, it says that, may the God cause you to be completely dedicated to him, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept intact and blameless. Spirit, soul, and body. God is concerned with our whole self. And it's the same way with prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be just words. We can actually pray using our body, or using our body can help us to have that strong prayer life that we might be looking for. Now, some of it you're probably already doing. The most simple thing that we do with our bodies in prayer is often we'll close our eyes, we'll bow our heads, we'll fold our hands. And on Wednesday here, the Awana kids were in here, and Wendy was reminding them of how they pray. And she said, we close our eyes so that we're not distracted, and we fold our hands so that we don't distract others, which is really good advice for little kids, but actually for us as well. Sometimes that intentional focus, closing our eyes, folding our hands so that we can focus on the Lord, is a helpful way to use our body in prayer. And there might be other ways that help you to pray. Getting down on your knees is helpful for many. It's an unusual position. We don't usually kneel in life. But getting down on our knees, or maybe making the sign of the cross. Again, it's not magic, but it reminds us of who we're praying to, the one who went to the cross for us. And if you don't want to do this kind of sign of the cross, well, then you can cross your fingers. Again, not magic, not here's my hope, but, or we're telling you a lie. I guess another reason people cross their fingers, but cross your fingers to remind you of the cross and of Christ, of who you're praying to. Because it doesn't depend on our technique. It depends on the Lord, the one who hears. So those are different ways to use our body, but maybe you need even more. And maybe you're the artistic type. And so maybe what works for you is praying in color. Anybody hear of that before? Not many. Well, praying in color is what I call doodling with Jesus. So if you like to doodle, if you like art, get yourself some colored pencils or some colored markers and a piece of paper, and as you pray, write down the person's name that you're praying for. And then just begin to doodle around it as you hold that person in prayer. Now, this is a pretty simple one here. Wow, they're getting good back there. And you just add, and I've seen ones that are really complex, that made to look like Christmas wreaths and other things as people pour themselves into prayer and pray for people and things. But their hand and their creative side is busy, and they're engaged, and it helps them connect it. And if you need even a bigger use of the body, well, then you can go all the way to prayer walking. You know, nothing in the Bible says the only way we can pray is if we're motionless. And so we're going to talk about this in a few weeks, but one of the most powerful movements of God I've seen is when churches have prayer walked through their community or prayer walked through their building. Again, using the whole body as an aid in prayer. Now, there's another thing we can use in an aid in prayer, and that's the Bible. The Bible is God's word, and so if we're really trying to have a conversation with God, then maybe a place to start is with God's word. And now the simplest way is to do what we do every Sunday and probably many other times, and that's just to use the prayers that are in the Bible, like the Lord's Prayer. Very simple. Can't go wrong there. But there are ways where all of Scripture can be God's word to us and be involved in the prayer conversation. So a method that some use is called SOAP, S-O-A-P. Starts with Scripture. You begin by reading a piece of Scripture. In fact, some people even write it out longhand just to really help take it in. And then O is observation. So you observe, what's going on here? What is God saying? Are there words of encouragement here? Are there challenges here? Are there principles here? What is it that's going on? And then A is application. So how do I apply that to my own life? How do I apply this scripture to my life? And then finally, prayer. You put that to God in prayer. You say, God, thank you for this. Thank you for this encouragement you've given me in your word today. Or thank you, God, please help me as you have challenged me in your word. And I want to do that, but I'm going to need help. You put it up in prayer. And some people even go a step further and they put this all down in a journal, a prayer journal. Not only so that they can remember, but so that they can come back and they can see how God has answered those prayers that they've been praying. So those are three big things, the basics, the body, the Bible, that help us to breathe, help us to be in connection with God through prayer. And yet all of those things are pretty much things that we do in set-aside time. We set aside time in the morning or at mealtime, or we set aside time to pray in color. And most of life is not set aside time, is it? Most of life is we're out there doing that. We're at school. We're at a game. We're doing work. So if we're going to pray continually, well, how can we pray continually when so much of our life doesn't allow us to have that set aside time? Well, that's where the breath comes in. Because there are ways that are as simple as breathing and we can do as often as we breathe. One of those is a breath prayer. A breath prayer is a simple prayer that you can say in one breath. Very small. The one that I use quite often is a breath prayer for any time I hear sirens or see flashing lights. And some of you are shaking your heads. And I'm not talking about when the lights are behind me and the police officer is coming up. That's a different prayer. That's not a breath prayer. That's an out-of-breath prayer. But the breath prayer that I say is, God, help those responders and the people they're helping. That's what I pray. God, help those officers and the people they're helping. God, help those EMTs and the people they're helping. Just one breath, one word, and you can say it anywhere. You can say it out loud. You can say it in silent prayer. Whether you're driving, whether you're busy working, that's something that we can all do. And there's really no restriction on that. Another prayer that I often use is even shorter and simpler. And it's when I encounter really bad news. And maybe I encounter it because it's on the news or it's come across my phone, but it's simply, Lord, have mercy. When I hear about a hurricane, I'm powerless to do much in that moment, but I can pray. Lord, have mercy. When you walk out of here and you shake my hand and you say, hey, my sister just got diagnosed with cancer, the first thing that I'm doing is praying. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Those kinds of breath prayers we can pray in any place. There's no restrictions on them. Still, it's not quite continuous, is it? Close. But there's one step further that we can make all of our life a continual prayer to God. And that's to realize that prayer is not just what we say. It's also listening and seeing what God is doing. And if we open our hearts and our lives up to the Spirit so that we're willing to see what God is up to and hear messages from God wherever we are, then our prayer life can be continual. We're always in connection with God. And whether that come through seeing a beautiful sunset or hearing a child laugh, or maybe it's the Spirit speaking to your heart, when we open ourselves up and say, God, I'm yours, 24/7, then our prayer can be continual. We're connected with God. Well, those are, again, just all techniques, things that we can learn, just like learning Lamaze breathing techniques that can help us. But remember, it's not up to us for getting those techniques right, because God is at work. As 1 Thessalonians reminds us, may your spirit, soul, and body be kept intact and blameless at our Lord Jesus Christ's coming. The one who is calling you is faithful and will do this. So use the techniques. If they work, if they work, great. If not, try something else. But open your life up to Christ, because the one who is calling you is faithful and will do this. Next week, we're going to look a little further in prayer and look at the power of offering ourselves completely to God, of surrendering our life to God, and especially when things really are going bad. But now let's just pray. God, thank you that this prayer life doesn't depend on us remembering all of this or even doing all of it. Help us to pray as we can. Help us to draw closer to you and experience that new life within us that you want to breathe in through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for giving us so many different ways that we can connect with you so that we're never separated. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.